Alright, good afternoon everybody. So, in January of 2015, a case of measles was identified in suburban Cook County of Chicago, Illinois. And as a result of this case, an outbreak investigation was initiated by the Cook County Department of Public Health, or CCDPH, that was later assisted by the Illinois Department of Public Health. So, for this outbreak, a confirmed case of measles was defined as having a febrile rash illness with laboratory confirmation of measles, or having a febrile rash illness with an epidemiologic linkage to a laboratory confirmed case of measles in an Illinois resident. Contact tracing was performed for each confirmed case, with any individual susceptible to measles being monitored for 21 days after their last measles exposure. So measles cases were interviewed in order to determine the time and location of their transmission and any locations where they may have exposed others. Lists of potential contacts were then compiled for each location visited, and when possible, interviews were conducted in order to determine susceptibility to measles. Public press releases were issued for locations when exposed individuals could not be identified and lists of contacts could not be compiled. So individuals not meeting criteria for presumptive immunity were followed for 21 days following their last exposure. This was done by phone or through an electronically web-based application. Post-exposure prophylaxis, or PEP, was given to persons without evidence of immunity and who met certain criteria. For example, MMR vaccine was given to immunocompetent individuals within 3 days of their first exposure to measles, or measles immune globulin was given within 6 days of initial measles exposure for infants under 12 months, severely immunocompromised persons, and pregnant women without evidence of measles vaccination. So the first case identified in this outbreak was a 41-year-old female resident of suburban Cook County. Rash onset was on January 16th and laboratory confirmation was on January 20th. Their vaccination history was unknown, they denied previous international travel, and they also had no exposure to other ill individuals. So a week after the index case was confirmed, a cluster of measles-like illness at Child Care Center in suburban Cook County was reported to CCDPH. This cluster was identified as measles when the first laboratory-confirmed case was reported to CCDPH on February 3rd. However, the source of measles in the daycare was not known, and at this point, attendance was halted in the infant room at the Child Care Center, and other infant child care attendees were notified and followed, and contact tracing began for those who tested positive for measles. After measles was confirmed in the child care center, 6 additional child care center related cases were identified. 5 of the 6 were among infants that attended the child care center, and the adult case was the parent of a sick child who was identified via monitoring and contact tracing. This parent had multiple points of exposure, including a community college, a grocery store, and a day spa where they worked. At this point in the outbreak, we were still unsure as to how measles was introduced in the child care center. However, this changed on February 13th when an infant attendee of the child care center who initially tested negative for measles by PCR was confirmed as measles positive on February 13th via serology. The rash onset was on January 18th and was initially misdiagnosed as Kawasaki disease. And because of the initial misdiagnosis, this case had 2 hospitalizations and multiple ED and outpatient pediatric clinic visits before measles was suspected. This case also attended the child care center while they were infectious and exposed the initial 6 cases identified, thus becoming the index case for the child care center. So after identifying the second case in the outbreak, it was noted that the first 2 cases had rash onsets that were 2 days apart, but also had no identified direct contact with one another. However, before becoming ill, both cases visited the same grocery store on the same day, which is where we think they likely had a common exposure to an unidentified case of measles. And finally, on February 18th, the final case had their rash onset. And this was an adult case that had no connection to the child care center, but resided in the same geographic area as the child care center. And April 5th marked the official end to the outbreak because this was 42 days or 2 incubation periods after the last day of being infectious for the last case. So overall, There were 15 cases of measles that were identified, 12 of which were infants under 12 months of age, and 3 were adults with unknown vaccination history. The median age was 8 months and ranged from 3 months to 41 years. All of the infants and one of the adults were directly associated with the child care center, with the other 2 adults residing in the same geographic area as the affected child care center. 12 of the 14 infants that were in attendance at the child care center in their infant room became ill, which gave it an attack rate of 86%. So in total, there were 4 Chicago area jurisdictions that were affected by this outbreak, and 5 infants made 9 pediatric clinic visits while infectious, resulting in close to 200 children and pediatric clinic staff being exposed. Vaccination records for some employees at the child care center and at the pediatric clinics were not available when we were performing the contact tracing, and these employees were excluded from work until immunity and history of vaccination could be proven. So overall, hundreds were potentially exposed in multiple settings during the outbreak. For example, grocery stores, a college campus, hospitals, multiple clinics, and the child care center. As a result, we focused our contact tracing on settings where susceptible individuals were most likely exposed. In total, 91 individuals were actively monitored and 20 contacts received PEP, none of which went on to develop measles. So in conclusion, a majority of the cases in the outbreak were among infants and thus highlights their vulnerability for contracting and spreading measles. This outbreak also highlights the importance of screening for airborne infectious diseases at outpatient clinics, especially among individuals with febrile rash. And finally, it is important that individuals who have contact with vulnerable populations, such as healthcare and childcare workers, have up-to-date MMR vaccinations with documentation that are readily available by employers. And so I'd just like to thank my colleagues at the Chicago Department of Public Health, Cook County, DuPage, Kane, and also the Illinois Department of Public Health. Thank you.
My question is about how you decided which contacts to do contact tracing and do the full monitoring. Because we had a recent, we're part of the Disneyland outbreak that was here last year, and we ended up with a lot more contacts
there.
And we did it, but it was a lot of work and it was pretty costly. So I wonder if you could talk to that a little bit.
So we specifically just followed contacts. Well, we specifically followed contacts that either we didn't know their vaccination history or they were vulnerable. And so then we followed them for the 20 days after their last exposure. But I'm pretty sure, I think the city of Chicago followed all contacts that they knew of. So the 91 includes the city of Chicago, but for the Cook County contacts, we just followed the individuals that we felt that we either didn't have an accurate vaccination history, or we weren't sure of their vaccination history or immunity, and we followed them for the 21 days. Hi.
Hi, Isaac Edwards, New York City Department of Health. I had 2 questions, both relating to the visits to pediatric practices.
Sure.
You alluded to this a little bit in your conclusions. So first, I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to the chief complaints. I think you mentioned 9 visits among 5 patients.
Yeah.
And second, with regards to infection control and cohorting practices in the waiting rooms and pediatric practices, which is exactly where you would expect those patients to end up and become super spreaders in healthcare settings.
Right. So the chief complaints, I guess, would be, I think it was rash. Yeah. There were a few that had atypical presentations. Like, for example, the first case, they had a really difficult time diagnosing them. But after we, actually identified measles in the daycare, then I think people were much more perceptive to their children potentially getting sick. So I think it was just mainly rash onset. As soon as those kids had any sort of rash, either a public health nurse was sent out or, I don't know if any of them, a few of them might have gone to the clinic, but they were maybe brought in through a back door or...
viral exam and Yeah. There were actually a couple of these kids are actually seen in clinics that are run by the county. And so was one of the adults. So there were, just millions of exposures.
It was interesting.
Yeah. I'm Mary Kelton, Department of Public Health. I'm assuming the 91 who you were following for the 21 days were quarantined. Is that correct?
I think, some of them were easy because they were babies.
But
so I was just wondering if you had considered doing any serologic testing of immunity because, there weren't any cases and it is kind of a burden on people to ask them to not go to work or school for 21 days when they probably are immune given vaccination.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if we consider it.
Yeah, we really focused in on children who were too young to be vaccinated or who had a questionable vaccination history for that reason.
Yeah, especially in a setting when you had a lot of exposures where you could even identify people.
Right.
The unlucky ones, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great. Okay, Andrew, thank you.
Thanks.